Be seated. Now, as I said, we're going to stay all together. If some of the real young ones go a bit wild, you can use the crèche facilities, which are just around down the side. Sort of, you can go out that door or this door, and they're just down the back here. Please make use of those. But please try and stay in. We love having our kids and being together as families as well. Now, the bit of the Bible that we're looking at this morning tells us this. So, Jake, hit that button. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He is talking about God. God who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him, with his son, having given him, how will he not also graciously give us all things? That because God sent Jesus, his son, to die for us, he will give us all things. That's what that seems to be saying. And so that's a reason. That's a reason that Jesus died on the cross, so that God can give us all things, along with having given us him. Now, I don't know about you, right, whether you're young or old, but I don't know about you, but that sort of thing, that sort of statement gets me thinking about all sorts of things. Tends to make, perhaps, my eyes light up. Don't know about yours, but it makes my eyes light up. All things, eh? Woohoo! Well, I wonder, all things, I can perhaps start dreaming of all sorts of things that I might like. And the dreaming, well, there's me asleep. You've seen me asleep before. I dream best when I'm asleep. You're not allowed to go to sleep, right? You're just thinking about dreaming, okay? Now, what sort of things might I dream about? Well, I might dream about a backhand, like Roger Federer. You seen it? Oh, you seen that? See, that was Roger Federer. Oh, could dream about a backhand like that. It didn't win him the Aussie Open, but hey, it's a good backhand. I could dream of the perfect golf swing. Oh, it's always in slow motion in your dreams. Bit there. Oh, yeah. That's a good dream for me. Or I could dream about being the best squash player in the world and playing on one of those flashy glass courts that those pro squash players play on. I could dream about that sort of thing. Now, dreaming about all of that might make me feel a bit tired. So then I dream about another one of my favourite things, which is food. And look at this. This is like I'm falling onto a bed of curry. Oh, what a great dream. But I might think, oh, savoury, let's have some sweets. So lollies as well. I could dream of lollies. Would you dream of lollies? Are you dreaming of lollies right now? Or, we've got to get this one in. There you go. The old British Marmite. And that's not any old Marmite. Okay, do you see what sort of Marmite that is? That is toasting the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. That is the special Diamond Jubilee version of Marmite. There you go. So I could dream about that. Or I could dream about this great fish that I'm going to catch. That one. That one that we went out the other week for and we didn't get even a sniff. A fish, maybe as big as me, and battling with it. All things. Is that what it means? Now, if someone says to me, you can have all things, those are some of the things I'd want to have if I thought about it straight away, perhaps. And it looks like God says it in the Bible, in Romans 8, verse 32, as we've seen. We can probably put that up again. There it is. It looks like God is saying, He will graciously give us all that sort of stuff. So, what does that mean? Does it mean things for a comfortable life? Does it mean things for a well-fed life? Does it mean things for a perfectly fulfilled fishing life? Does it mean any of the things, because I've done all the hard work of thinking all them things up, all the things that you've maybe thought about, if someone said you can have all things? Or does it mean something else? Well, it means something else, but we need to look a little wider to find out what it means. Elsewhere in Romans 8, just a few verses on, Paul, writing this letter, is talking to some people. And he said this, that's true, from God to people. He said that. But he also goes on to talk about, shall trouble or distress or persecution or famine, no food, or nakedness, or danger, or even swords and war separate us from the love of God in Christ? He's saying that because those things are happening to the people that he's talking to. And the answer is no. Not because those things don't happen to Christians, to God's people, but because in all of these things, he says this in Romans 8 verse 37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And what God means by giving all things to us is this. Not everything you can possibly think of, but the things that will be good for you. Things that we need. Things that we most need. Not necessarily things that you want. When you think straight off the top of your head, oh, all things. So, as we've seen, I want all sorts of things if I put my mind to it. There you go. All them things? Yeah, I'd love them. All them things? I'd love them. All right, and I'd definitely love that. But, what about this? Well, not sure that's the nicest dream I've ever had. That's a surgeon with a dirty great scalpel, just about to do what surgeons do with dirty, well, clean dirty great scalpels, I hope. Okay? Now, is that a nice dream? Probably not. But might that be a good thing for me? Well, it might, mightn't it? If I've got a disease or I've got a problem that needs sorting out, will that be painful? Well, hopefully the anaesthetic will be good enough. But there'll still be the recovery. And so it will be painful. Would I look forward to that? Well, I might in one way, but then I might not in a whole load of other ways. It's not necessarily something I really want, and yet it is good for me. It will do me good. It will do me a lot more good than getting a whacking great tuna, if you know what I mean. And God is much more interested in giving you and me not particularly what we want, but what we need. The things that we need. He's much less interested in giving you and me anything and everything, and much more interested in giving us what is good for us and what is good for you. So let's look at the verse again as we think about it. That's my thoughtful face there. Okay. Let's read it through again and have a think about it. He, God, who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things along with him? God is so interested in us having what is good for us, okay? So interested that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross. He gave his son. to give you all things that are good for you. So here we go. So you could be forgiven for your sins, the wrong things you've done, the wrong things you think. So you could be forgiven of your sins. You need that. That is a great thing, isn't it? That is a thing. So you needn't remain any longer an enemy of God. That is a great thing. Humanity, people against God as enemies doesn't end well for the people. That's great. It's a good thing. That's good for you. Why? So you won't go to hell forever and be punished for your wickedness by a God who is totally pure and holy. That is good for you. That is a great thing. So you can be a child of God. That's a great thing. It's good for you. So you can know that nothing, not even all those things we said earlier, can separate you from the love of God because He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross. So you can know that for sure. Nothing can separate you from His love. That's a good thing. It's a great thing, and we need that. So you can have God the Holy Spirit living in you. Wow. That's a good thing. So you can speak to your loving and almighty Heavenly Father wherever and whenever about whatever. You can pray to Him just as a child asks his dad. It's a great thing. So you can have peace that however bad things can get in this life, you're still safe with Him. And because of Him, and because of what Jesus has done. So He can begin to change you to be more and more like Jesus. It's not only that, wow, Jesus is great, it's that God wants to make you more like Him. That's a good thing. It's good for you. So you can change from being selfish and all about me and the things that I want. And most of those things that came up were pretty much things that I want, me being selfish. And change you from someone who thinks about what others want. That's a good thing. So you can begin to live a new life of love and service of others. That's a good thing. And so you can have an eternal resurrection body just like the one Jesus has. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? And I tell you, we're going to need that one day because this one isn't going to cut it. And so that you can look forward to not just a nice time, not just a holiday, not just the nicest possible passage of time you could have on this earth, but you could look forward to eternity, everlastingness, never going to endness with Jesus. In a new heavens and a new earth where there will be no suffering and no pain and no tears for the old order of things. This old order of things in this life where we get hurt and we cry and we suffer will have passed away because Jesus has said, I am making everything new. It's a good thing, isn't it? And you know what? Those things are the things that we need. Most of all. And Jesus died on the cross so you could have all of them and more besides. Now, I've tried to go on and on with that and work it through, but it's only scratching the surface. It's only scratching the surface of what we can give thanks for because Jesus has died on the cross to save us. It's only scratching the surface. The things that Jesus has died to give us are the things we need to be saved, the things that we need to live His way, to do His will. They're the things that we need to give Him glory. And they're the things that we need to get us to that joyful hope, to attain everlasting joy. And He graciously gives us these things. He graciously gives us these things. That means we don't deserve them. We don't deserve the tiniest little bit of any of that. It's amazing, isn't it? And we're going to celebrate that in the way that Jesus said we should celebrate that, by taking the Lord's Supper together. We're going to sing first, but let me pray as well and ask God to help us. Father, thanks. Thanks for these words that are written in Your Word. Words that You want us to hear now. Things that You want us to think about. You've chosen this time and this place and these words as what we need right now. And so I pray You'll help us to reflect on them. As we come to this serious but joyful time of celebrating the Lord's Supper, help us to be clear on these things, whether we're young or old. Help us to get past ourselves and to see Your grace and Your love to us, to know that we're sinners, to know that we are done for without Your love to us in Jesus, and to thank You for saving us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.